Hey guys, welcome back to Newsprint Commando. As I continue looking at one of Aracel's books this season, I have in front of me Elf Lord number 3, with an on-sale date of sometime in May 1986. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet me at either Teal Productions, Teal Like the Color, or NewsP Commando. Teal Productions is on Facebook and Blue Sky. IamIndieMan at gmail.com is the email address, and comicbooknoise.com/TNC, Tango November Charlie, is the website. Now, the cover I'm looking at here is done by Barry Blair. Full color. It is of one Hawk Erickson with war paint on. He's got his hair done up. Dude has 3 swords. One of is a two-handed sword that he's got the scabbard across his back. Now that one he is holding two-handed in front of him, and he's kind of turned, if we're looking at him, he's kind of turned to the right a little bit so that his body and the arms and everything are seen from the side so that you can see it. A lot of detail in the armor and the gauntlets that he's got on. The armor, it's a leather armor because he's an elf. Elves don't do metal armor. I'm kidding. This is his world. I don't know what it is, but they have leather armor. Really detailed. He's got maybe a stylized phoenix on a belt here on his waist. It's holding one of the scabbards on. Really, really cool picture. Inside front cover is an image of, I'm not sure really who that is. It might be Pure Breeze, all done up, holding a bow, a gun on her hip, because I believe Pure Breeze is a female, I can't really tell. And that's something a little bit interesting about a lot of Barry Blair stuff. It's kind of androgynous in ways. I kind of like that. It takes the gender out to where you just focus on a character and what the character does or doesn't do or says or whatever. And it doesn't strike you that, you know, oh, that's not something a guy would do or a girl would say or whatever. They're just a character. But anyway, sorry. The inside front cover. And then behind there's cliffs with some characters in shadow up above, like, I don't know, like they're part of whatever Pure Breeze is doing, or I'm not sure what we're supposed to get from that other than just, ooh, cool. And then there's a little placard here, Aracel Publishing presents Elf Lord, and it's got all the indicia information, except the year that it was produced. Now, inside, that comes to us from Barry Blair, writing pencils and inks by Barry Blair, Patrick McCown, Tim McCown, and Bruce Blair. With inks by the same, so I guess any individual, maybe they inked what they drew. And then letters by Elwin Mark. So we open up and we first off see Doran. He's our bad guy. He's a human, old dude, balding on top. Very ominous looking. It's just his face. It's not even big enough to get his ears in it. No, it's not a dude. It's a elf. Sorry. But very scary looking picture, imposing there. So we go on, and he is talking to several of our elven companions that he has in prison. One of them is Falcon. There appear to be Falcon. Well, there's 3. Falcon plays a part a little bit later in the story. The other two, who I don't remember who they were or if we even necessarily know. But Doran takes them. After beating up on Falcon, takes the other two. One of them is female. It's a male and a female. Tells his guards to take him to his chambers. He will We will play the game, Doran says, as the elves are being carried out. If you listen very hard, Falcon, perhaps you'll hear their screams. Perhaps. How many elves will you let die before you talk to me? I wonder. That's Doran as he's walking down the corridor away from the cell that Falcon is left in, which is the cell that all 3 of them were in. We go outside on the edge of the great forest, and here we have Hawk Erickson, Pure Breeze, and Bolo as they're wondering how they're going to get in to rescue Falcon, until finally Pure Breeze tells Hawk, you just go ahead and you do your thing, leave getting Falcon to Bolo and me. So they split up. Oddly enough, Bolo reminds me of a character that I've seen in Cerebus. I was just reading some Cerebus last night, and I forget the name of the character, but he puts me in mind of a character I ran across there. And then we're also in the, we cut next to the Valley of the Endless Mists, and an older elf, looking much unto a dwarf, is trying to teach a younger elf, yet another member of our party, how to do some magic. And he, the older elf refers to the younger as Windbag, but I don't think, Windblade. Okay, that's who this younger elf is, Windblade. He's learning to do some magic. And it works, but it doesn't work. It works, but it works too much. And they end up blowing up the room that they're in. So we'll get back to that maybe next issue, and we'll see what kind of situation they leave the room in. At midnight, on the outside of the castle, we see Hawk as he's climbing up to the residence of Princess Tiang, T-I-A-N-G, Tiang, I think. And he jumps in and speaks to her, gives her a rose. Oh, I love you. I love you too. I wish we could be together. Oh, but we can't. Etc., etc. Elsewhere, we find that Pure Breeze and Bolo have gotten in to the castle. They've killed one guard, and they're making their way down into the dungeon. In the dungeon are three guard elves who put you in mind of like gnomes or ogres or something like that by their nature. Now, every creature in this world has the big pointy ears, which to me means that they're all elves, but they also put me in mind of elves and humans so far, and like I said, a dwarf, and then these as gnomes or gnolls or something like that. But they're guarding, they're playing cards here. There's a fourth one who is standing guard at the cell that has Falcon in it, and that guard is taken out by Pure Breeze. The guards a little bit farther down the hallway playing cards here and come up, and she gets to fight those three. One has a pike, one has a spear, one has a halberd, one has a sword here, and the other goes hand to hand. And she manages to take them all out, take two of them out. And then one of them, the third one, gets the drop on her and decks her with a punch. And just as he's about to cut her head off, Bolo comes running up with a crossbow and trips and falls. And in falling, launches the crossbow, and it goes right through the throat of that guard. So a little bit of luck there, which is the same kind of thing that Bolo did last issue. He's kind of goofily lucky, or he has goofy luck, however you want to put it. They get the keys, open up the cell, and they rescue Falcon. So now Pure Breeze, Falcon, and Bolo are in the dungeon. They have to make their way out, and they encounter a big, burly, human-looking size elf here. He looks very much like a human, like a gladiatorial champion would or something like that. And just as he pulls down on the three elves, Hawk shows up. So he and Hawk have a martial showdown here. Two-handed sword, one-handed sword, halberd, battle axe, slicey, dicey. Finally, Hawk wins by pinioning the large elf through the throat with his two-handed sword. And then the next panel is just, you can tell what he has flicked his wrist and thus sliced the sword out of the throat. So it's like a partial decapitation of the body, I'm sure, if we could see it. Now we can go home, Hawk says. That's the end of the regular story. Now there's a backup, although it's not necessarily a backup, because this first story was 18, 19 pages, and this last one is like about 12 or 13, so it's almost half and half. But the second story comes to us. It's scripted by Roger Cam with pencils and inks by Barry Blair, and it involves Windblade's dad, Windblade Greensleeves. And we have a little text here at the top of the first panel. Barry Blair has written this. He says, this story by Roger Cam and I was originally printed as a limited print run single issue some years ago at the end of the Little Elf Lord series. I think they had like 3 or 5 issue test run. For the next 3 issues, we're reprinting it as a backup here in Elf Lord. The mag was originally entitled Windblade, but in the interest of continuity, let's say it's The Adventures of Windblade's Father. Thank you and enjoy. So we see Windblade 1 here, not Windblade 2. That's who we're following. We see Windblade sitting atop a horse. Apparently he's on a river fishing because he's been fishing. We have a fishing pole here. It doesn't look like it's in the water. All his supplies here on the horse, sword on the side. We see across the river something is being burned. So eventually he wanders up to this. Now, I don't know how he got across this body of water, first of all. I don't know. Maybe it's a lake and he went around. If it's a river, we didn't see him do any fording or any crossing ferries or anything like that. But we get a close-up of what's burning, and it looks like it was a wagon train of some sort. It's been ransacked and pillaged and set afire. So Windblade comes upon it and he's looking around, sees all the dead bodies and says, damned reavers, and he spits, you know, like you do to show disgust. R-E-I-V-E-R-S, reavers. Not sure why it's spelled that way. He hears something. Chuck, 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 chuck. And we see panel after panel as he dismounts the horse, grabs a bow and arrow, and starts wandering around through the what's left of this wagon train here looking for the sound. And he looks around one particular upset wagon laying on its side, and he sees an individual. You want to say that it's female, and maybe here you can tell from a side view that there are some chesticles, so I guess it is female. Digging a grave and burying somebody, but they're using like a 2x4 to do all of it with. And so they didn't have any tools or anything. So he sees her, she looks over her shoulder at him, and then he bends down and grabs a 2x4 and starts helping her. Full page panel, next page is the two of them on Windblade's horse looking over at the burning remnants of the wagon train that she was part of. They're on top of a bluff here. Later that night, they've pitched camp. He's picked a pretty good place because he can put his back up against a tree. And in front of him is a fire, but behind the tree is the edge of the bluff. So basically, he only has to watch and protect himself from about 120, 180 degrees of the 360 that there would be. So nice location here. Any idea why they attacked you, ask? Well, because we're different. Where are you going to go now with you, she says. And you can see here now that they've had a moment to refine the drawing that it is a female. You can see Barry makes it a point to show nipples, I guess, so that you know it's female. This character appears to be a cat, but either the fur on its head or I guess it's the way that the fur is grows, parted and grows on the forehead. The forehead is left bare in a big diamond shape, right on the forehead, going from basically from between the eyes up almost to where the ears are. So the whole middle of the forehead in a diamond shape is bare. And then for pointy ears, but the ears are pointy in a different way from the elves. So you can tell this pointy is, in my mind, is supposed to put you in mind of some sort of animal. And that would make sense being that she's a cat. Turns out she has a name. I don't believe it's given here. I got the name from Grand Comics Database. It's M-E-E-R-O-N, Mirren, I guess. I don't know. When he asks, where are you going to go now? She says, with you. And then the final panel, you just see shit. So I guess he doesn't want to have to protect her. Now we see the title of the story, Dragon's Breath. We go up, see a scorpion here in a panel. Somebody spit on the scorpion. And then we see a couple of good old boys sitting here outside of a building or something downtown with their feet up on the Bannister there talking. Bugs are getting as bad as the Reavers in this town. Don't look now, but here comes another one. And with this cat squall to boot. As Windblade and Mirren are coming up on the horse. Windblade asks, pardon me, friend, but is there any hotel in this town?
Ah, not for the likes of you, cat lover,
is his response. Guess I'll just kill you and take your beds then, as he's pulled out. I don't know, it's the size of a sawed-off shotgun, and that's what it appears to be from the barrel end, but from the from the butt end, it looks like a pistol grip. So that's the... I didn't note it on him. I noted on the front cover here. I don't know. But I remember seeing somebody had a gun holster, like a sidearm. But he draws down on him and says, oh, no. It was just a misunderstanding, sir. Yeah, there's a... we misunderstood you. Well, there's a saloon and a hotel just down the street. Yes, sir, just over there. As both of them are, you know, they got the stupid grins on their face and they're pointing down the street, the two good old boys there. Neighborly of you, he says as he pulls up the gun so it's not pointing at him. And they're riding away and she's looking over her shoulder at the two guys there. Not sure what that's meant to do. But they get to the... In, what did they say it was? An inn, a saloon and a hotel. So like a typical Western situation, you got the saloon at the bottom and I guess hotel rooms up above. Because they walk in and you see this real dark and it just looks bad of the saloon. One guy here is holding something. Says, I tell you, this is one prime pelt, like taking candy from a baby. And I think it's a pelt of another cat person. Look, judging by the ears. Windblade walks in, opens one of the swinging doors of the saloon. Mirren opens the other door, and so they're standing side by side. And then you have the panel there of everybody in the saloon turning to look at the door. It kind of, yeah, is kind of, you know, what you got there. So, who is it? Windblade? Got a real quiet place here. And the barkeep says, very quiet. Quiet place. Quiet town. Very quiet. We like it quiet. Aim to keep it quiet, sir. Very, very quiet. And as he's talking to the barkeep, one of the dudes that was in there bragging might be the one that had the pelt. I mean, take a look here. Yeah, I think it is. No, it's not. It's another one. Different one. But he walks up to Windblade, puts his arm on his shoulder. Hey, you with the white hair. How much for the cat? She's kind of pretty. Yeah, of course. You can. You know where that's going to go, right? Windblade tells him she's not for sale. Dude says, oh, you know, no, you misunderstood. I wasn't asking. I'm telling you that I want to buy her. And Windblade grabs his hand and throws it off. And by this time, the barkeep jumps in. He wants to keep things quiet, wants a quiet place. Here's some quiet liquor for you to go upstairs and drink quiet and keep everything quiet. And let's be quiet. And, you know, the thug here keeps messing with Windblade until finally he draws his pistol again. He and Mirren walk out with the pistol drawn, but then the other side of the room from him, apparently this saloon has two sets of saloon doors. So they've walked out one, and walking out the other is a group of thugs related to that first guy and related to the dude that had the pelt there when we started. And they come out. Pistol drawn, swords drawn. I mean, they're ready to do some stuff because this one says that he's the youngster to the old man that first was talking to Windblade. That was his daddy. So he's, you know, you embarrass my daddy. I got to get a piece now, and not a piece in a sexy way. So he draws down on Windblade, and Windblade slices his arm off and jabs the sword down into the walkway that he's on here so that he can reach to his hips and draw a couple throwing stars and throws stars and hits each of the other two thugs in the middle of the head. I guess that's going to penetrate deep enough to kill him. I don't know. I mean, if not, they're going to be awful pissed, right? So I've seen that before. Where did I see that? Last season in Samurai. He would, the stars, they just don't seem to go very deep. Ninja movies, when they hit guys in the chest with the star and they fall out like they're dead. I don't know. I have kind of a hard time believing that the ends of a throwing star just a typical throwing star that you see, right? That they can penetrate deeply enough to really kill people. They'll hurt, sure. And especially like in the head, I mean, I don't know how thick the skull is until you get to the brain, like going from the front. But I don't know. I just don't think that would kill people. Like I say, just piss them off because that crap's got to hurt. But anyways, the boy runs back into the saloon. Dad, Dad. Or actually, he says father. Gets to him and he says, what the hell? Blast it, boy. I told you to keep your mouth shut. It'd get you in trouble someday. Somebody bind this stump. The rest of yous follow me. So they're going out after Windblade and Marin, who we see has jumped on a horse and they are running out of town to get away from all the trouble now that's going to be following them. Blast, he's got a head start on us, but the bastard's crippled my son. I'll follow him to hell to make him pay. Yeah, so four or five of them here, and there may be more that join the charge later, but they're going after him. Inside Batcover is asking us, are you missing out? Because we can subscribe now to 12 issues of Elf Lord and or Samurai. They'll be mailed to our door at a saving of more than 12% off the newsstand price, which means you can get 12 issues of either or both for $21 per 12. So 24 issues would cost you $42. That's pretty steep back then. What is this? This is priced $1.70 US to Canadian. So 24, if it's 2 Canadian, yeah, 8, here it is, 18. 18 US. So that's basically what, a buck and a half. So you get a quarter, or you get 20 cents off an issue if you subscribe through the mail. Where does this go to? Gloucester, Ontario, Canada. Okay. And the back cover is full color by Tim McCown and Barry Blair of a, I don't know, some kind of lizardy, reptile-y dude peeking through some reeds in a swamp kind of look. Book tells us here, printed in Canada. So there we go. Elf Lord, a lot of tropiness to it, I guess. A lot of things that I've seen, well, as I sit here, I've seen before. Now, in 1986, what was that? I would have just graduated high school or getting ready to graduate high school. I still would have seen a lot of these tropes on TV and in movies. The Western, the saloon, the good guy coming in. Making the bad guy look bad and the bad guy coming back at him violently and the running off and hunting him down and the wagon train where you pick up the young squaw that was left orphaned now. And yeah, it's all kind of Western tropey. Yeah, not, I thought there a minute, not necessarily the spaghetti Western tropes. That's kind of got a different air to it, but, yeah, interesting. So we've got the high fantasy with the elves and the swords and potentially sorcery of the first half of the book. And then this part is a Western with elves. So there you go, whichever you want. We got the two kinds, fantasy and Western. And that's kind of an allusion to a movie, if you guys know what movie that's from. Good on you. All right, so that is this episode of Newsprint. Let me consult my listy here. And it looks like the next Newsprint Commando is going to be a Pacific Comics Tuesday. Pacific Presents 2, Silver Star 2, Star Slayer 6, and Twisted Tales number 2. So those probably will be all the books that came out in, what, January 1983, I think. And then the next regular Newsprint Commando will be X-Mutants number 3 from Amazing Comics. So there you go. That's what you have to look forward to if you hang around. And if you do, I'll talk to you again next time, guys. Ciao.